by the end of today, we're going to be swimming in the ocean of Nityananda's lotus feet. So much katha about Lord Nityananda. And Abhishek, and wasn't that Abhishek fantastic? Compliments to our pujari here. He's very, very dedicated to making very opulent Abhishek's. So we're going to spend some time this evening. We'll see some pictures of Lord Nityananda and his place of pastime, Ekachakra Gram. Pay a little visit to Ekachakra. And this opening slide is Nittai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Shushitala Koti Chandra. Million moons. The lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are cooling like millions of moons. So we want to take shelter there and receive some cooling rays from this scorching material existence in Kali Yuga. Lord Nityananda is part of the Pancha Tattva. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda. And wherever is Lord Chaitanya, there is also Lord Nityananda. When wherever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his merciful pastimes, it's just a very nice Gadadhar Pandit and Nityananda. They were with Lord Chaitanya always. Advaitacharya was there before, and then when Lord Chaitanya went to Puri, he remained in Shantipur and went with the devotees each year to Puri. But Gadadhar Pandit was constantly by his side. And Lord Nityananda was with Lord Chaitanya from when he began his congregational chanting, Lord Chaitanya to begin his Sankirtan pastime, and then he joined the Lord. And when he accepted sannyas, he was with the Lord. And when he traveled to Puri, he was with the Lord. And then he wanted to stay with him in Puri, but Lord Chaitanya gave him some service to do. So he had service and separation. And Srivas was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his childhood, because Srivas was very, very close with Jagannath Mishra. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father, Jagannath Mishra, left the world, Srivas took the position, along with Chandrasekhar, like his guardian, in a fatherly role. But Srivas, because of his spiritual ecstasy of serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like Narada Muni, in that same mood, he was always submissive to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he was his elder. But of the members of the Pancha Tattva, the most prominent in the fulfilling the mission, the Sankirtan mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was Lord Nityananda. He was in the mood of a cowherd boy. From the time that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, Lord Nityananda was 12 years old. He was 12 years older than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he left home in Ekachakra to go traveling. For 20 years, he was on pilgrimage. That's a long pilgrimage. And a large part of that pilgrimage was spent in Vrindavan. And when he was in Vrindavan, Lord Nityananda was just like a little boy. He would go into the fields where the cowherd boys were herding the cows, and he would herd the cows with the cowherd boys, and he would play on buffalo horns and twirl his stick in the air, turning in circles, and catch the stick like a just frolicsome boy, go swimming in the river Jamuna and splashing with the cowherd boys. And sometimes he'd feel great separation from someone. Sit by the door and keep the door closed. And when he was sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to leave Puri and go to West Bengal and perform the missionary work of giving the holy name to everyone, his mood was still like a cowherd boy. And his associates, for the most part, were also in the same mood, cowherd boys. They were just like little children in their ecstatic mood. This painting is from when he was instructing Jiva Goswami and taking him on parikrama to the places of Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Navadvip. Just constantly serving the Lord in an ecstatic mood of Vrindavan. And his Leela, of course, it depends on which biographer we hear from, but he was an avaduta. He was always in a mood of ecstasy and had made no, observed no formality of social convention. Meaning, for example, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's described he would sometimes walk around without any clothes on. And Mahaprabhu would come to him and say, "My dear brother, please put on your clothes." How will the wife of Srivas Thakur Malini Devi feel you walk in here with without your clothes? Put on your clothes and sit down and eat your meal. He would take the meal and throw it on the floor. One time, he came into the house of Advaita Acharya, of Srivas Thakur, and his wife, Malini. Her service, one of her services to assist her husband, was making the tray for his puja. And one of the articles of the puja tray was an achman cup. It was a big achman cup with a big spoon. So she was preparing the tray and a crow flew right to the windowsill and then flew down and grabbed the cup in his beak and flew away into the tree, way out of the window. And Lord Nityananda came just at that moment and Malini was crying. And he asked, "My dear mother, what's the reason you're crying?" "I was making the tray and the crow came and took them. And how can I serve my husband?" He said, "Don't worry." And he clapped his hands and called the crow, "Come at once. Bring back that achman cup." And the crow flew right to the windowsill and landed on the windowsill and dropped the achman cup, bowed his head and left. And Malini said, "What is wonderful for a personality like you? You are Lord Ananta. On your hoods, all the universes and planets in the universe are resting. You who expand all the paraphernalia for the service of the Supreme Lord, what is it that is wonderful for you to bring back an achman cup from a crow?" When it was not like a technique, but just their ecstasy. When they would go to persons' doors, Lord Nityananda, they would knock on the door and persons would open the door and he'd jump inside the house and roll around on the floor and call out loudly, "Chant holy name of Krishna." Krishna is your father. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your life and soul. Chant the holy name of Krishna. And he was in such ecstasy. People wasn't just wild. It was ecstatic love of God. They had never experienced anything like that. He was an avaduta. Or apparently so. And Advaitacharya would sometimes appreciate him, that he was beyond any caste or varna consideration, but he would speak it in a condemning way. You come to my home and you're behaving like a madman. Who? You're spoiling my caste. Who even knows what your caste is? He was in a Paramahansa stage. He had no caste. And Nityananda would say, you've invited me to your home and you're starving me. I'm so hungry. I could eat 10 times what you're bringing. And Advaitacharya would say, I am a poor householder. You come as a guest to my home. Just accept what I give you and stop carrying on like this. And Nityananda took a palmful of rice and threw it on the floor. I'm leaving this place. You're just a terrible host. And the rice smashed on the floor and bounced and hit the leg of Advaitacharya, who started dancing in ecstasy. The Mahaprasad of Lord Nityananda has touched my body. Who can understand these pastimes? Sometimes he would feel like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with this intense mood of separation, and would become very still and quiet, reflecting on his deep affection in his love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because it was like that. It was transcendental affection being exchanged between the two lords. Especially favorite in appreciating Lord Nityananda is his chanting and dancing with Lord Chaitanya in the kirtans, in the house of Srivas Thakur, in the public places. When he was sent from Puri to go back to West Bengal and propagate the distribution of love of God through the chanting of the holy name, Lord Chaitanya also instructed Lord Nityananda that he wanted him to become married. And Lord Nityananda protested. He said, all of your elevated associates, they're all renounced. Why are you giving me this service to do? Are you unhappy with me? Am I displeasing you? Am I unfit to be one of your intimate associates? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I just see you like this. So he accepted that this was the will of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so when he returned to West Bengal, this came to the notice of Mother Sachi, because Mother Sachi was inquiring about her son Nimai. And in the course of their discussion, she was told by Nityananda Prabhu that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had instructed him to marry. So Mother Sachi informed Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya began making arrangements for his marriage. And it was known that one very qualified Brahmin, because Nityananda was born in a Brahmin family. Hadai Pandit was his father. So a very qualified Brahmin, Suryadas Sarakale, who was one of the brothers of Goridas Pandit, very intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who lived at Ambika Kalna, had two exceptionally qualified daughters that were of marriageable age. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda had regularly gone to Ambika Kulna. So Suryadas was very aware of who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who was Lord Nityananda. So at Advaita Acharya's indication, he went to Ambika Kulna. And he came to the home of Suryadas Sarakale and was received very happily. Oh, Lord Nityananda, you've come to my home. I am feeling so fortunate. Let me bring you nice prasad and make all arrangements for your stay. Is there some service I can do for you? And Lord Nityananda said, yes, I would like to marry one of your daughters. And Suryadas said, well, I have to speak with my other family members. So he went to speak with his other family members, and they were all thinking, how is this going to work? I mean, Lord Nityananda's most elevated personality, but he's such an avaduta. How is he going to maintain a wife? We respect him. Oh, we respect him like anything, but married and to our daughter? And while they were speaking this way, Janava, one of the two daughters, heard them speaking. And as they were speaking this way about Lord Nityananda, because she's the eternal associate, just as Balaram had two wives, Revati, and who was the other wife? Varuni. So Vasudha and Janava. Janava was Revati. So when Janava heard them speaking this way, she was spiritually hurt. And she came down with an intense fever. So the family didn't know what to say to Lord Nityananda. But now they have another problem. Janava is deathly, feverishly ill. So bring the doctors. And doctors couldn't do anything. And one doctor came and after taking her pulse and seeing her condition said, she's soon going to die. You better prepare the funeral arrangements for your daughter. She's very soon going to leave her body. And as they were considering in so many different ways what to do for their daughter, Goridas understood. He said, I think the problem is she was hearing you speak in this, what she might have thought of offensive way about Lord Nityananda. And my sense is that because of that, she's become deathly ill. My recommendation is that we at once go to Lord Nityananda, fall at his feet, and agree to accept this proposal of marriage. And I think then Janava will revive and regain her health. So that's exactly what happened. They went to Lord Nityananda, who was just smiling very happily, fell at his feet, and profusely apologized and agreed to the marriage and said, let us make the marriage arrangements at once, except that Janava is very, very ill. We're hoping that by this news that she'll become again revived. As soon as they made this, repaired the offense to Lord Nityananda, at once her fever broke and she became very happy to receive the news that she would be betrothed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So at the reception, there was this arrangement that Lord Nityananda and Janava were seated side by side, and so it was Vasudha's service, the sister, that she would bring the prasad. And as she was bringing the prasad, she was carrying the plate for Lord Chaitanya in her hand, and the cover of her head, her sari, started to slip. But she didn't want to drop the plate, but didn't want her hair to be shown in the presence of Mahaprabhu. So suddenly she manifested two other arms and covered her hair. And Mahaprabhu turned to Suryadas and said, "For dowry, I would like to also marry Vasudha." So Suryadas agreed. And so at the wedding, it was a double wedding. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu married both Janava and Vasudha. And there, after spending days with the wedding ceremony, the very next visit was to go to the house of Mother Sachi, because Lord Nityananda was very affectionate in his dealings with Mother Sachi, and Mother Sachi accepted Lord Nityananda like her own son. And she was so happy to see Lord Nityananda married to these two most qualified daughters of Suryadas Sarakale. And after some further visiting of the great devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they settled in a very nice place in Kardaha, near to Calcutta. When we went to the Panihati, we didn't go to Kardaha, but from the place where that the big tree is, where Lord Nityananda was seated under, you can see the town of Kardaha down the Ganga. And one of the principal followers in the line of Lord Nityananda was his son. Okay. Virachandra, according to Gaura Gonadesh Deepika, was a manifestation of Shiradakshai Vishnu. That's pretty good. Advaita Acharya is a manifestation of Mahavishnu. And the son of Lord Nityananda is Shiradakshai Vishnu. So one can imagine he was a very powerful devotee. He in turn had three sons. All three of them were great, great devotees. And he accepted many disciples. And his line became a very prominent line in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers. This is a classic, very, very beautiful painting. The grainy texture is unavoidable, but it's showing the mood of Lord Nityananda. In the mood of the cowherd boy, feeling great love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his service and his mission. Here's a nice painting of what we heard this morning. This is Krishnadas Kaviraj. After the incident with Miniketana Ram, who was invited to a function at the home of his brother, and Miniketana Ram was offended by the priest and his brother, and Krishnadas Kaviraj chastised them severely, and he also left. So that evening he had this dream in which Lord Nityananda came in a ecstatic, intoxicated state and was so pleased with Krishnadas Kaviraj, he's gesturing with his hand, "Go to Vrindavan, go at once. Take shelter of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. You have pleased me very much and I want to give you shelter of these wonderful devotees and the service of Krishna." So by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we now have Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because while Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was residing in Vrindavan, specifically he was residing by the side of Shyamakund and Radhakund, he got the association of Raghunath Das Goswami, who every day, by the order of Rupa and Sanatan, he would discuss Gaura Lila for 3 to 4 hours every day. We're doing this one day. That's a morning, midday, and evening. So 3 to 4 hours of Gaura Lila. But it was every day. Every day. Every day. From a perfectly realized soul who had personal association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and had full understanding of the inner meaning of his Leela from his association with Srup Damodar, and was blessed by Rupa and Sanatan Goswami to give this to all the Vaishnavas. And one of those Vaishnavas hearing from him every day, was Krishnadas Kaviraj. So the great devotees in Vrindavan at the time, they recognized that Krishnadas Kaviraj was so qualified, therefore the title Kaviraj, he could write and speak so lucidly, so brilliantly. They asked him, please take these pastimes and write them down because future generations otherwise will not have access to them. But he felt not qualified because he was so advanced. He was feeling very humble. I don't have the qualification. But they ordered him. He writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, particularly one faultless, sinless, pure Vaishnava who would always serve all the devotees and never criticized any devotee. He would never, if anyone spoke any ill word of a devotee, he would immediately get up and leave. So everybody knew, you don't say anything about a Vaishnava before this devotee, because he won't tolerate it. He won't stay in that place. He was so pure. And this devotee insisted, you must do this. You go take the blessings of Madan Mohan and do this service for all the Vaishnavas. Not for your... So the writing of a devotee, this is an important spiritual instruction, universal spiritual instruction. It should be done simply as a service. Not in the mood of anything else. What most people do writing for, to get some recognition or some attention, some fame. Just simply for purification and for service to the Vaishnavas. So with the order of the Vaishnavas and the blessings of Madan Mohan, he began writing Chaitanya Charitamrita. And when he was writing, he describes he was so old. His hand was trembling as he was writing. His health was terrible. He didn't know if he would be able to complete. He kept writing like that. I don't know if I'll be able to complete. So I'm just writing codes because I may die before that happens. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, he was able to finish the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. And by our good fortune, Srila Prabhupada was also able to complete the commentary. So together these two lords, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, together they inaugurated the Sankirtan Yajna throughout all the area of Navadvip and would chant and dance in great ecstasy and enliven all the souls who simply saw them. One of the descriptions of the elevated state of Lord Nityananda is that when people would simply see him, or he would see them in a crowd of people, he would simply see the people in the crowd as he was dancing and chanting, and just by his glance upon them, just like Mahavishnu glancing upon Pradhan, by the glance of Lord Nityananda, their body would erupt in ecstatic devotion, and spontaneous love of God would flood their hearts, and they would chant like him in ecstatic devotion. Such is the elevated state of Lord Nityananda wherever he went. This is the pastime at Panihati, where Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu together enjoyed their pastime of taking the chipped rice and dahi and condensed milk and rice, flat rice, and distributed the contents to all who were there under the supervision of Raghunath Das Goswami, and then the wonderful kirtan that followed, visible to Lord Nityananda and Raghunath Das. The birthplace of Lord Nityananda was Ekachakra, and his childhood pastimes took place here also up to the age of 12 or 14. 14. And the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur refers to the place as Virchandrapur, and it's also called Virabhadrapur. Right across the street is the locals call Virabhadrapur, because Virabhadrapur is named after the son of Lord Nityananda, Virabhadra, Virabhadra Gosai. This gives you an idea that the focus isn't so good, but down at the bottom, this is Calcutta, this is the river Ganga, and there Navadweep. So those of you that have been to Mayapur, you know how long it takes to get from Calcutta to Navadweep. And up here, almost an equal further distance, is Rampur Hut. And just above, 20 kilometers above the Rampur Hut, is Ekachakra. It's a small village. But at one time it was a flourishing pilgrimage place, very much like Navadweep was at the time, with many, 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 practically all Brahmins. Very, very learned place. And you really can't see much. Let's try this picture. This is we drew this on a chalkboard so all the people at the yatra could see where the places are. The whole area is Ekachakra. There's a large archway right here at the main road. And then there's a tributary of the Jamuna. At one time it was a very swiftly flowing tributary of the river Jamuna. And our ISKCON temple is right here. And this is the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Garbhavas. And Padmavati Kund, Padmavati is the name of Lord Nityananda's mother. So when the marriage arrangement was made between Padmavati and Hadai Pandit, Padmavati's father gave a very nice dowry, including large piece of land to this day is under the control of the people at Garbhavas. So they have this Padmavati Kund, where Padmavati every morning would go and take her morning bath. And all this land in this area here was under the jurisdiction of Hadai Pandit. And we'll see some of the other places as we go further along. And the opposite side of the road is where Virbhadra made his residence. This is the Bankim Roy temple, where the deity that Lord Nityananda personally worshipped before he left Ekachakra is now being worshipped in that line of Virchandra. And also the deity, when Lord Nityananda left Ekachakra, we'll narrate that story in a moment, but there was a deity named Muralidhar that the Brahmin mendicant gave to Padmavati. You can't see that deity very well because there's the main altar. But if you look over to the side and way over on the left-hand side, the deity of Muralidhar is also there. I don't know why they don't bring the deity for people to see, but they don't for some reason. And then the Jagannath temple and the deity of Lord Shiva that Hadai Pandit worshipped and his father also worshipped. So here's that archway. We'll just show the pictures first and describe a little bit of the Leela, and we'll see what time it is. This is the archway at the entrance of Ekachakra. Very nice architecture. And we'll first see the ISKCON temple at Ekachakra. It's just past the river Jamuna, a little bridge you go over, and on the left-hand side is our temple. Straight ahead is the guest house, and the little building to the right is the temple. There's the entrance to the temple and the gate in front of the deities. And here's the deities of Gornitai at ISKCON Ekachakra. And a close-up of the deities also. The same deities in a different dress. And they have their traveling Sankirtan bus, also with Gornitai deities. And a nice goshal. In fact, the whole of Ekachakra is just filled with cows. It's like being in Vrindavan. It's very nice. And just down the road, on the left-hand side, same side as our temple, is Garbhavas. This is the name of where Lord Nityananda was born, therefore Garbhavas. It's the home of Hadai Pandit and his wife Padmavati. And the picture that you see is, they're very, well, besides strict, they're very unpleasant, the people that are in charge of this place. They're really grumpy. They'll only open the gate at a certain time. And you can stand there till you rot, but they won't open the gate. And when they open the gate, they're as friendly as a winter in Alaska or something. Hare Krishna. Anyway, this is the temple. The temple itself is over on the right-hand side. This is the residential quarters for the people who are unfriendly. And we're standing there waiting and waiting for them to open the gate. No cameras, no shoes, no kirtan. Hare Krishna. The main altar is the deity of Lord Nityananda himself. They don't allow photos, but sometimes they sell photos of this deity, of Lord Nityananda. So this is the presiding deity at Ekachakra Gram. And on the altar to the side is a deity of Lord Nityananda in the middle, and Lord Chaitanya to our right or to his left, and Advaitacharya to our left or his right. So it's 3 out of 5 of the Panchatattva. But of course, because this is the birthplace of Lord Nityananda, they honor him in particular. And that's appropriate. This is the actual location where the house of Hadai Pandit was. It's of course more modern architecture, recently redone. But it marks the very place of Lord Nityananda's birth. It's a very, very sacred, holy place. I'll tell, if there's time, I think there'll be time, I'll describe the visit of Janava, who never had seen Hadai Pandit, never saw her father-in-law, never saw her mother-in-law, never had been to the place where Lord Nityananda had lived for the early part of his life, because she was always in Kardaha serving her husband. So she made a pilgrimage after Lord Nityananda's disappearance. And we'll describe that, what she saw, the house of Hadai Pandit. This is Nitai Kund, just to the right side of Garbhavas. This is a place where Lord Nityananda would take his bath every day, very happily. And this is a nice painting that they have of Lord Nityananda in his mood of waiting for Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to manifest his wonderful Sankirtan pastime. Going further down, there's a little dirt road, and we'll show some of the places. Bakula Tala, Pandava Tala, Hantugada, and Chandan Sarovar. There's where they are, on different both sides of the road. This is Bakula Tala. Underneath the Bakula tree is a place where Hadai Pandit and Padmavati place the umbilical cord of Lord Nityananda in Samadhi. That's pretty unusual, but that's what they did by the side of one Kund. So it's a worshipable place. During the exile of the Pandavas, they spent time at different places, and one of the places that they spent time at was at Ekachakra. And in this grove of trees, you can see a structure, and that structure marks where the Pandavas stayed at Ekachakra. So I'll describe that also. You just keep these visual images in your mind. And this is along the river, Jamuna River. There's a kund in the backside. Along this dirt road where the pastimes of Krishna were enacted by Lord Nityananda when he was a small boy. Particularly in this kund is the place where the Kaliya Leela was performed, reenacted by Lord Nityananda. And Chandan Sarovar is given this name because Lord Nityananda, Mother Padmavati, would put chandan on him because it would become very hot, and then he would wash off the chandan, take his bath in Chandan Sarovar. Now on the other side of the street is the Bankim Roy temple, and inside is the deity. So it's a little difficult to get to through different little roadways. But each of the times that I've been there, we've had military escort in the form of two dogs. They would make sure that we made it to our destination safely. And anybody that came in the way, especially other dogs, it's just their service. When pilgrims come, they make sure they make it to Bankim Roy Temple. I'm not kidding, it's true. So here's the temple, and then outside is the Kirtan Hall. And this is a photograph. They're not so restrictive. They're not so liberal either, but it's a photograph of Bankim Roy. This deity was found by Lord Nityananda. He had a dream in which Krishna appeared in his dream and said, "Tomorrow I'm going to come in the Jamuna River and I want to be worshipped by you." So when he took his bath the next morning in the Jamuna River, the deity came right into his hands. And so he began worshipping Bankim Roy. And to his side is Srimati Radharani, and Janava is on the other side. Another photograph. Now, as you're looking at the altar, over to the, you know how it is, you have to, it's a very wide altar, and they don't show the Muralidhar deity. But he's there, very tall deity actually. standing in his threefold bending position. This Bankim Roy deity is like this size. This is Kadamba Kandi, where the deity was found. It's where Lord Chaitanya would come with his associates, and they would lay in the river Jamuna, and bathe in the river Jamuna, and this is where he found the deity, right here. Now, over the course of time, they've made these nice steps. Before, it was no nice steps, it was just a mud path, and gradually they made nice little steps for the pilgrims to come. There's the temple just outside Kadambakandi, and the deities, the Sadbuj form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the foreground, and nice deities of Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also on the altar. Now going back on the other side of the street where Virchandra made his residence, at the far end is the Bhandeshwara Mahadev temple, where the father of Lord Nityananda, Hadai Pandit, would worship this Bhandeshwara Mahadev deity. He worshipped the deity of Lord Shiva in the mood of Lord Shiva being the best of the devotees of Krishna, because he was a Vaishnav Brahmin. And he also worshipped Jagannath deities personally. So there's the Jagannath temple on that Virbhadra side. I made some changes in the text and it doesn't show them. So here's just some scenes from Ekachakra, where it's simple village life with lots of ponds of water and the river Jamuna and so many cows. As you walk along the pathway, there's little houses where people reside, and cows and cows and more cows, holy cows. Some sheep. And that's our final picture. This is the birthplace of... It's a very sacred place. When you go there, you feel something special. It's the mercy of Lord Nityananda in Ekachakra Gram. So I'll describe a little bit about this visit of Janava. Because, as we mentioned, Janava was the eternal consort of Lord Nityananda. And Janava survived after Lord Nityananda left this world. The children that were born, there was one son, one daughter, they were both children of Vasudha, and Janava had no children. After Lord Nityananda left, she remained, and she was accepted by all the Vaishnavas as the eternal consort of Lord Nityananda, who is the personality of Godhead. So she was revered appropriately. And her spiritual elevation matched their reverence. She, in course of time, initiated many devotees. And she, like her husband, she was extremely, exceptionally merciful. Very kind to all. She made no distinction of birth or education or worldly position. She was kind to everyone. And like Lord Nityananda, she just liked to serve the Vaishnavas. Although she was so elevated, she would serve all the Vaishnavas and give her blessings and give her mercy very liberally. So at one point, she developed a desire to visit the birthplace of her husband and the childhood home of her husband, Lord Nityananda. She had never been there. So with a grand assembly of some of the most prominent associates of Mahaprabhu who were remaining in this world, they made a pilgrimage, just like we may sometimes make a pilgrimage to Ekachakra. They went with this wonderful assembly of Vaishnavas. And very much like you see as you approach Ekachakra today, they were just walking, and it was a tree-lined road with very large pipli trees on both sides, providing nice shade for walking. And as they were walking and walking, they were naturally anticipating seeing this wonderful place because they had heard about it. During the time of Lord Nityananda, it was a very attractive, very beautiful pilgrimage place, filled with many, many wonderful Brahmins and cowherdsmen, and a very simple and happy life. So as they were approaching, they saw one old Brahmin coming the opposite direction towards them. And he was moving very slowly with a cane. And when they approached the Brahmin, they felt they were in presence of a very elevated soul. And he was very elderly. So they offered their respects to him and asked, "Is this Ekachakra? Have we come to the right place?" And he said, "Yes, you've come. This is Ekachakra." He said, "The place seems to be so quiet. We heard that Ekachakra is such a bustling, lively place of higher learning and great devotion, and we don't see so many people around. Can you explain why that is so?" He said, "After the departure of Lord Nityananda, everybody left. There's very few people here remaining. I am one of the few. I am simply going to all the places that Lord Chaitanya performed his pastimes, meditating upon his pastimes as I go from place to place, simply offering my prayers. Maybe he will return. And that hope is sustaining my life." And he was saying it with such emotion, with such devotional emotion, that these very elevated Vaishnavas were so moved. They sat down under one of the pipli trees and asked him, "Can you describe the history of Ekachakra? You seem very learned, you must know the history." And he said, "Yes. Ekachakra is a very, very old place of pilgrimage. How old, no one really knows, but is certainly as old as 5,000 years, because the Pandavas came and made their residence here during their exile. Queen Kunti and all of the five brothers kept their residence because they appreciated that it was so much like Vrindavan. They felt very much at home. But as fate would have it, while they were there, they had some important service to do because there was one terrible Rakshasa whose name was Bakasura, different than the Bakasura in the Krishna book, different Bakasura. A Rakshasa demon, man-eating, huge, monstrous personality that before the Pandavas came, he would regularly raid in Ekachakra and just eat people alive and then go back into the forest. And some days later, when he became hungry again, he would come and eat people alive. So they had made this truce with the Rakshasa. They said, "Once a week, we'll send a bullock cart loaded with food for you and two horses and a driver who will bring everything that you need. And since you're a Rakshasa, not only the food that they bring, but you can eat the horses and eat the driver." but you know, regulate your senses. So that we can live peacefully. So the Rakshasa agreed. And the arrangement was that in rotation, someone from the village would sacrifice one of the village members. As the saying goes, you sacrifice one village member to save the village. So one village member was sacrificed along with the horses, and they would take all these edibles and the Rakshasa would eat them and devour everything. And a week later, another. So in rotation, it became the turn of the family where the Pandavas were staying as a guest. And when the wife was sobbing uncontrollably, Kunti was very moved by her feelings and asked, "My dear mother, what is wrong?" She explained the whole thing. "It's now my turn. I must send my son, but I have only one son and I don't want to lose my son." So Kunti said, "Well, I'm your guest in your home. I can send one of my sons." She said, No. "You're the guest. I can't accept that offer." She said, "No, you don't understand my sons." "Trust me. They'll deal with the Rakshasa directly." So with the power of Kunti's persuasion, one of the five Pandava brothers was selected. And guess who was selected? Bhima. So at the appointed time, the bullock cart was loaded with what the Rakshasa was supposed to receive, and the two horses, and Bhima was driving the bullock cart. But we know another name of Bhima is Vrikodar, right? He has voracious appetite. So as he was driving the bullock cart, with one hand he was reaching behind. And by the time he got to where the Rakshasa was, it was almost gone. And the Rakshasa came out to receive his offering, and he saw an empty bullock cart. And he was enraged, and he immediately attacked Bhima. So Bhima held him off with one hand while he finished the rest. And Bhima did battle with the Rakshasa and smashed him and pulverized him. Now, I've not seen this, but the devotee that took us there the first time, there's a Dham Sevak department, and Vrajanath is in charge of the Dham Sevak department. He said there's a village some distance away that they say it's the bones of this demon. When Bhima was finished with him, he threw him in the air, the dead body, threw him in the air. Some miles away, it landed, and you know, huge bones, like a human being's body, the remnants of a huge Rakshasa demon. And Bhima came back with the two horses and the empty bullock cart. And when the wife, or the mother rather, of the family where the Pandavas were staying, saw Bhima came back alive with the bullock cart and the two horses, she said, "What happened?" And Kunti said, "You must promise not to tell anybody, but my son finished off the demon. He's very powerful, but you must not tell anybody." So she was amazed and very pleased that she had her son. And the demon was no longer troubling the residents of Ekachakra, the elder Brahmin described So we saw the place where the Pandavas resided, very peacefully in a grove of trees within Ekachakra Gram. And as the years passed and the generations passed, Ekachakra grew into a very prosperous, thriving, sacred place. Still very simple and quiet, but with wonderful Vaishnavas who resided there. And one of them was a very, in the course of generations, was a very renowned astrologer. In fact, he was such an excellent astrologer, they gave him a title, Ojha. And Ojha was doing some astrological calculations, and in the course of doing so, he came upon a calculation that said that right there in Ekachakra, an incarnation of the Lord would appear. And he showed all the other astrologers exactly how it was that he reached this conclusion. And they all agreed that sometime in the future, wasn't exactly when, it would be after his life. That much they knew. After Ojha's life, an incarnation of the Lord would come. So he was on the one hand very happy, and also on another hand very unhappy that he would not see that form of the Lord who would appear in Ekachakra. Ojha was a very pious man and a householder, and in course of time he had a number of children that were conceived and were born, but shortly after their birth they died. So he was very unhappy in that way. But one of the children survived. And when he did the astrological calculation for his child, he saw that the child would be a very great Vaishnav and very learned and very influential person in his life. But he also saw that his death would be in great distress. So again, he was very happy, at the same time also very sad. Life has this mixed emotions somehow. In the course of the growing up of his child, he also exhibited very great spiritual qualification. And so when he became a young man of marriageable age, he was given this title for his influence within Ekachakra, Hadai Pandit. Hadai is a title indicating like a leading person, the leading respected person, Hadai Pandit. And Hadai Pandit was married to the very qualified Padmavati. And a grand marriage, the Brahman is describing all this. A grand marriage arrangement was made. Shortly after Hadai Pandit and Padmavati were married, both his father and his mother died. So Hadai Pandit accepted the responsibility of leading the community in Ekachakra, and naturally everybody appreciated him in that way. He and his wife underwent great austerities in order to prepare themselves to receive a qualified son or a qualified child to be born of them. And their son was Lord Nityananda. He was called Nittai. And from his childhood, Lord Nityananda was fixed in devotion to Krishna. There's one child I know, he can barely toddle, but whenever there's kirtan, He's right there in the kirtan. He sits with a cardboard box, and he plays the cardboard box like a harmonium. And when he's impatient for the, let the kirtan begin. He's got his hands on a cardboard box playing harmonium. Who was this little boy before he was born? Some children are just like that, just completely natural devotees. And Lord Nityananda was like that also. He was not only absorbed in Krishna, but he was a leader because he's the personality of Godhead. And so he would gather all the little boys together and they would play Krishna games. Not just games. They would enact the pastimes of Krishna all day long. And sometimes even all night long, because some of the leelas were at night. Like the appearance of Lord Krishna. He would tell the devotees how they should dress. They could have the right costume. He would tell them their lines. He would tell them their mood. He would tell them the series of events. And they would enact the pastimes of Krishna. The advent of Krishna was put inside a dark room at night, at midnight. It had to be at midnight, where Kamsa was over there, wicked Kamsa, in his big palace. And over here was the prison house of Kamsa, and Vasudeva and Devaki gave birth to a small child, a little doll, was Krishna. And after they offered their prayers, he gave them the prayers to say to the little doll, Krishna. And then he was supposed to carry the Krishna across the river Jamuna to Gokul. And over in Gokul was waiting Nanda and Jasoda. All the details of the pastimes. He trained the boys how to play like cowherd men. They would get bugles and put it in their belt and cowherd sticks, and they go in the fields with the cows and they play all the games that were described as being performed by Krishna and the cowherd boys. And they would just play and play and play. Sometimes he would have the devotees dress as the different demons, the Keshi demon, big horse, or Agasura demon. They would set up one of the boys and they make a big foliage of a big serpent. And the cowherd boys went into the mouth of the Agasura demon. He enacted all the pastimes that one got that you saw. He took the Kadamba branches and made a Kaliya serpent that was out in the middle of the pond. And then Krishna was to get on top of the Kaliya serpent and dance. And then when the cowherd boys saw that he was in the grasp of the Kaliya serpent, they fainted to the ground. And then the wives of the Kaliya serpent came and offered their prayers to Krishna. And Krishna sent Kaliya and the wives of the Kaliya serpent away. Pastime after pastime after pastime. The lifting of Govardhan Hill. They made a big Govardhan Hill made of branches of trees and leaves. And Krishna would hold up Govardhan Hill while the residents were underneath the hill of Govardhan. Another boy would, from a tree, would throw sticks. The lightning of Indra. Krishna was holding Govardhan Hill. And all the cowherd boys were praising his prowess. And the parents were amazed because they never narrated any of these stories to Lord Nityananda, but somehow he knew the stories perfectly well. Not only the series of events, but the exact words that were spoken. And they would ask each other, how does he know all these things? Who has been telling him all these stories? And then they would go and ask Nimai, how do you know all these things? And he would just smile at and say, I'm enacting my pastimes. And literally that was what was happening. All the children of Ekachakra were experiencing the very same emotion as the residence of Braja, along with Krishna's Leela. Although they were just small children, they were in the same emotional ecstasy. And the pastimes of Ram, he also knew. Have you ever seen children do this? I've watched them. They'll say, okay, I'll be Krishna, you be Balaram, you be Radharani, you go over there, you do this, you do that, and then don't stand up yet, you have to dramatize the whole thing. They're playing Krishna's pastimes. But this wasn't just children playing Krishna's pastimes. This was the Supreme Personality of Godhead enacting Krishna's pastimes. When they enacted the pastime of Krishna being taken from Vrindavan to Mathura by Akrura, Lord Nityananda played the part of one of the gopis who was crying and crying, uncontrollably crying in separation when Krishna was being taken on the chariot by Akrura. Terribly distraught emotionally. Sometimes they would play the drama of fighting the Vanaras, fighting against the big warriors of Ravana, and Ram taking his bow and killing Ravana, and all the cowherd boys, all the boys of Ekachakra would celebrate, Ravana has been killed. Then he told them one pastime where Lakshman would be hit in the chest by the Shakti Shela weapon of Ravana's son. And he was going to play the part of Lakshman. And he told them what to do. He said, when I get hit in the chest by Shakti Shela weapon, you're Hanuman. You're supposed to go and get the herbs from the mountain. But when you go to get the herbs from the mountain, first you come to a lake. And we get to the lake, it's a Rakshasa who's trying to trick you, to try to eat you, and he'll try to get you to stay and be his companion. But you should say, no, I have to go get the herbs. And he'll insist. You take bath and then you'll be drawn into the lake and you have a big fight and you get free and you go get the herbs and bring them back and you place the herbs under my, give them to the physician over here and the physician will place them under my nose and then I'll... So you can do all that? So they said, yes, yes, we can do all that. We like this drama. So when the part came when he was hit by the Shakti Shela weapon, Nitai fell to the ground, unconscious. And when they saw Nitai falling to the ground unconscious, he was their life and soul. They ran to his side and said, Nitai, you appear to be not breathing. Nitai, Nitai, are you okay, Nitai? Get their parents quickly, Nitai. It looks like he's dead. The parents came running and he wasn't breathing. They get the physicians. The physicians brought their medicines and nothing could be done to revive Nitai. And the parents were in panic because he was their life and soul also. Their children would play all day long. And they were so happy because they're just with Nitai, because they love Nitai. And it was, everything was Krishna conscious. Even if they didn't eat their meals, they knew that they would be happy being with Nitai. But now Nitai is he dead? Then one of the elders said, wait a minute, Nitai knows all these dramas very well. Is one of the boys supposed to be Hanuman? Oh yes. I'm Hanuman. And what did Nitai tell you to do? He told me to go get the herbs. Did he tell you where to go? He said, yeah, go there. He said to go over there. Well, go over there. So he went to the lake. And the Brahmin, who was not a Brahmin at all, was a Rakshasa. And he said, please come and stay. No, no, I have to go get the herbs. No, no, please, you must. You're my guest. So he went to take his bath. And the
alligator grabbed a hold of him and had a big fight, and they fought with the other coward boy, and he knocked him out and went to get the herbs. Brought back a big mountain, just like, you know, a makeshift mountain of herbs, and brought before the physician and gave the physician the herbs and placed the herbs before the nostril of Nityananda, and he opened his eyes and smiled. And everyone was happy. Oh, and he died. You've come back. What a wonderful actor you are. You've saved our life. In this way, the childhood pastimes of Lord Nityananda would go on again and again and again all day long. Eventually, it was time for Nittai to go to school. And all the cowherd boys, all the village boys of Ekachakra, they didn't want to go to school. They just wanted to be with Nittai. But Hadai Pandit wanted to enroll him in school. So with great difficulty, they were able to separate themselves from Nittai to go to attend school. And like Lord Chaitanya, very quickly he learned everything the teachers had to teach him. In course of time, as Lord Nityananda was growing, the attachment of his mother and father didn't diminish. It increased and increased and increased practically every day. Hadai, other than Lord Nityananda being in school, he could hardly bear his separation. He would take him with him to the fields to see how the crops are growing, to see how the cows are being cared for. He'd take him to the marketplace holding his hand to go buy whatever the ingredients that were needed for the home. And if even for a moment the hand of Lord Nityananda slipped out of his hand, he would panic. He was so attached to his darling son. So much attached that when Nityananda came to be of 14 years of age, he began to understand, if I continue to stay here for some time, my parents will want me to become married. And that won't be any good at all, because then how will I take part in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes? And just now he's appearing in Mayapur, in Navadvip. So by transcendental arrangement, when Brahman came, who was going to later invite Lord Nityananda to come travel with him to all the holy places. So the Brahman, very elevated soul, came to Ekachakra and was so pleased to see how wonderful this place was. And he was directed to go to the leading personality's residence, Hadai Pandit's residence. And when he entered in the home of Hadai Pandit, he was received so graciously, so happily. And the Brahman himself was so elevated, as was Hadai Pandit, and they enjoyed each other's company so much. Without even thinking of the passing of time, they were just engaged in Krishna Katha all day long and all night long and into the morning. And the happiness they shared with one another was so intimate that Hadai Pandit just naturally said to the Brahman, "You've been so gracious to come to my home, and I'm so fortunate. I'd like to extend some service to you. Is there anything that I can do?" "Well, there was something that you can do. I've been traveling alone, and it's difficult as I'm getting older to travel solitary. I'd like to travel with one companion who can assist me in carrying things and making arrangements for meals and just little practical affairs. And besides, I can show my companion all the places of pilgrimage throughout all the land I'd like you to give me your son to travel with me. Hadai Pandit felt like Dasarath being asked to send Ram into the forest to kill the demons by Vishvamitra. What have I done? I've given my offer of service, but how can I part with Nitai? So he didn't say all that. He just said, I have to ask my wife. So he went to Padmavati. And Padmavati, being very chaste, it's very much, the drama is very much like Nanda Maharaj going to Mother Jasoda, saying, Akura wants to take Krishna to Mathura. So what did Mother Jasoda say? Same thing Padmavati said. You're my husband. Whatever you decide, that'll be okay with me. Assuming that her husband would say no. Because she knew how attached he was. But he had given his promise that some service, and this was the specific service that was asked for. So with great, great hesitation, thinking of what happened when Dasarath also gave his son to go to the forest, he handed over his son. He placed the hand of his son in the hand of the Brahmin and said, please take care of him. And with that, the Brahmin left the house of Hadai Pandit. And Hadai went back to where his wife was and just fell to the ground. And Padmavati realized Nityananda has gone. She ran out of the house, running after the Brahmin, saying, please, don't take Nimai. Don't take Nitai. Please leave him here. He's our life and soul. How will we maintain our life without him? Please don't take him. The Brahmin smiled and he reached inside the bag that he was carrying and he pulled out of the bag a deity of Muralidhar, and handed the deity to Padmavati and said, my dear mother, when you're feeling separation from Nitai, you simply gaze upon this deity and you will see your son. And he spoke so convincingly and with such purity that she didn't know what to say. She held the deity in her hand and the Brahmin went down the street and was gone. Just like vanished. So she went back into the house and showed the deity to her husband, who was practically mad at the thought of the loss of his son. And he went out into the courtyard and called out, Lord Nityananda, not Lord Nityananda, Nitai, Nitai, where are you? Where have you gone? Come back. Your mother won't be able to maintain her life without you. And persons in the village heard him calling like a madman. And so they immediately assembled and Nityananda is gone. Send people scouting in all directions to find that Brahmin and Nityananda. And they spent the whole day looking in all directions and couldn't find him. And they came back to the house of Hadai Pandit to inform him of this news. They can't find Nitai anywhere. The old Brahmin, because of time, I'll fast forward a little bit. The old Brahmin said, in course of the next months, Hadai Pandit was literally mad. He would go into the marketplace talking as if Nitai was with him. He would go into the fields talking as if Nitai would... He'd stand on the road looking in the distance and call out, Nitai, come quickly. Your mother is waiting. She's prepared her meal, your meal for you.
please don't disappoint your mother. She wants to give you a bath and then you take your meal. Nitai. Nitai. He would sometimes just sit in his home and sob for hours. He couldn't eat anything. He couldn't sleep. His whole body became emaciated. And same with Padmavati. In the course of several months, they expired. They left their bodies. And after they left their bodies, everyone also gave up hope that Lord Nityananda would return. So one by one, the people of Ekachakra all left. And it became like a ghost town, where there was nothing but the handful of us who were waiting and waiting and waiting for Lord Nityananda to return. And so every day, I go to all the places where little Nitai would perform his pastimes, meditating upon him, waiting for that day when he will return. Because if I give up this hope, then I give up my life. He bent his head over and started crying, sobbing. Janava and her associates were so moved by the intense devotion of Lord Nityananda this Brahmin had. They put their arm around him, tried to comfort him, and said, could you show us the house where Lord Nityananda lived? He said, yes, I'll take you there. And he took them to the house where Lord Nityananda lived. And he gestured to the house and tried speaking something. But he couldn't speak. He was too choked up. His whole body started heaving and sobbing and sobbing and sobbing, uncontrollably sobbing, and he just left, crying. And they let him go. What could they do? He was feeling such pain of separation. The house, over the years, had become dilapidated. Bricks were missing, and the door was off its hinge, and everything was in disarray. So off in a corner of the house, Janava sat down, feeling very sad, not just to see the condition of the house, but that the former resident of the house was Nityananda. And Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, who she never met. She was feeling very unfortunate. And in the course of sitting in that place in the house, she dozed off. And in her light sleep, she saw a vision of Lord Nityananda in the house of Hadai Pandit with Padmavati, and saw them very joyfully engaging in activity together. Right in that very house, she had that vision. And then she woke up. And she felt simultaneously very happy, but also very sad, because feeling the separation of Hadai Pandit and Padmavati. So again she dozed off and saw in a dream in the very house both her and Vasudha seated on either side of Lord Nityananda in the house of Hadai Pandit, very happily sitting with the family and engaging in conversation. Again she awoke and shared this with her other associates and said, I think it's time to leave. Let's go. So as they were leaving Ekachakra, going down that same path of the pipli trees on either side, there was one drunkard. And the associates with Padmavati, with Janava, were thinking, who knows what this drunkard may do? We should stand in between because he may do something to harm Janava. But she very swiftly moved and came right to the side of the drunkard and encouraged the drunkard. My dear sir, This is the birthplace of Lord Nityananda. Please chant the holy name and give up these fallen ways of life and take to devotional service of Lord Nityananda. You're in a very special, sacred place. Make your life pure and sanctified. And he acknowledged her message. And they were thinking, just like Lord Nityananda, as Mother Janava, compassionate and fearless in one personality, endlessly compassionate. This was the nature of Mother Janava, as was the nature of Lord Nityananda. When Lord Nityananda left Ekachakra, he went on pilgrimage for a number of years, all throughout India. In the course of that pilgrimage, he received initiation, and then he resided in Vrindavan, simply waiting for the pastime of Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, and his Sankirtan pastime to commence, so that he could then come and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip Dham. So there's the little description, summary description of Lord Nityananda Prabhu in his association with the village of Ekachakra, and a little bit of his life with Vasudha and Janava. Sri Nityananda Rama ki jai. Hari Bol. So it's been a long day for yourselves as well as for myself. If this group is a question-asking group, that's enlivening for me. I can take some time and answer some questions, respond to some questions, if you'd like to do that. And otherwise, we have a big day tomorrow again. At least I have a very active day. Any questions anyone would like to raise?
Maharaj, in the from the time Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, we will only find the deities of Kaunthai only where there are places of Lord Nityananda's pastimes. And after that, our acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we don't see that they have established the deity of Lord Nityananda. They have Radha Krishna deity and Lord Gauranga deity. But when it comes to Prabhupada, he was practically wherever he opened his centers, he had deities of both Gau and Nithai. What was such a special thing that Prabhupada wants to present Nityananda than his spiritual master Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? I don't know whether it's appropriate to ask like this, but I was just thinking from the morning that Prabhupada is very, very merciful that he has...
Yeah. It's esoteric. It's like, you know, it's a mood. Bhaktivinoda Thakur established Gorgadadhar deities, which was... It's not that Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't have a preaching mood. He had certainly a very expansive preaching mood. But Srila Prabhupada was in a very... his mission itself was a pioneering mission, much like Lord Nityananda's mission was a pioneering mission. Go to places where people are most fallen and give them Krishna consciousness, give them the holy name. So in that mood, he established Gornitai deities by approaching Lord Nityananda. One receives great news.
is both a mood of the worship itself, it's also a mood of the outcome of the worship. To receive the mercy of Lord Nityananda in order to give in that mood of mercy, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. To keep it simple, the outcome is the same. The mood of the approach is different, but the outcome is the same. And it does indicate a special kind of mercy, as Lord Nityananda was very merciful. Like this example that Janava approached a drunkard. When they were thinking, keep this guy away, he was very compassionately thinking how to relieve him of his fallen condition. I remember in one lecture Prabhupada said, when you see Lord Nityananda, you should never think of him in an ordinary manner. Even he comes out of a liquor shop. It's because he's gone there to deliver the person in the liquor shop. There's a pastime described in Chaitanya Bhagavat where Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are moving along the side of the Ganges. And up on the side of the hill of the Ganges, there's one tantric sannyasi. And the tantric sannyasi comes to the door and he recognizes Lord Nityananda. He says, oh, please come visit my home. Please honor my home with your presence. So Lord Chaitanya doesn't feel so comfortable going to a tantric sannyasi's home, but Lord Nityananda doesn't mind at all. And they go to give their mercy. And he says many flattering things and says, let me introduce my associate, and brings out a female companion, the tantric sannyasi's female companion, and says, please accept some refreshment. I forget what the word that he uses. Huh? Amrita. Anand. Yeah. Please take some anand. And Mahaprabhu says to Nityananda, what does he mean, Anand? He said, you'll see. He brings out liquor. Mahaprabhu runs and jumps in the Ganges with his clothes on just to purify himself being in that person's association. But Lord Nityananda's wish is to deliver this person. This is Lord Nityananda's mood. Once Prabhupada said in a lecture, he said, if there's anything, it was in Hawaii. And in Hawaii, there's, you know, all kinds of living entities in the form of human beings that were taking shelter of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada made a comment, if there's any mistake that I've made in the course of my preaching, is that I've accepted unqualified disciples. Too many unqualified disciples. But what can I do? I'm in the line of Lord Nityananda. It was Prabhupada's mood. And his mood became our mood in worship and in service and in also outcome. It's not that worship of Gaura Dadhar is something better or something like that. It's a different mood. It's a different mood of approach. Approaching the conditioned souls and giving them Krishna consciousness. And then elevating those conditioned souls who have taken shelter of Krishna consciousness to a higher standard of Krishna consciousness. That's also Lord Nityananda's mission and Lord Chaitanya's mission. Anything else? I have some written ones, but I'll take the hand ones first.
Maharaj, although Nityananda Prabhu is very compassionate and gives mercy like anything, very few people come to the pure devotional stage. Why is it like that?
Because our hearts are very hard. Mercy is being freely given, but we're not accepting it. The process of devotional service is voluntary. So although the most merciful person wants to give the most wonderful thing, our hearts are closed. And it's not forced upon us. It's being extended to us very liberally. It's like, we're like Kaliya. When Nanda Maharaj was being swallowed by the serpent, you know that Leela? It was at night. And they were around a campfire. And a big serpent was swallowing Nanda Maharaj. Slowly. And so the cowherd men were in panic. They were beating the serpent and kicking the serpent, and they took firebrands from the fire and put it on the body of the serpent, and nothing was stopping them. Swallowing Nanda Maharaj. So what did they do? Krishna! They called for Krishna. And what did Krishna do? He came and just placed his foot on the serpent's head. And immediately, a Gandharva form was released from that serpent. He had been cursed to become a serpent. But just by the touch of Krishna's foot, he's immediately relieved of that curse. But Kaliya, how many times Krishna was touching his feet to Kaliya's hoods? And he had 1,000 hoods. And he would raise one of his hoods and try to bite Krishna. And Krishna would jump on those hoods. It looked like dancing, but it felt like Kaliya, like hammers banging on his head. At the end of the Leela, it's described his heads were disfigured. Because he was so envious. It took so many times. Krishna dancing upon his hoods. Finally, he realized this is the personality of Godhead. And then he surrendered. Within his heart, he surrendered. So we're a little like Kaliya. We get so much mercy, but we're so hard-hearted. But Krishna is very merciful. He'll keep dancing on our heads. Or whatever is required in order to restore our Krishna consciousness. Some can more readily take, and some it's more trouble, more difficult. Prabhupada once said, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple, and difficult for the crooked. That's the answer. If a situation arises when Krishna, having very much been pleased by one's devotional service, appears before you and gives you a chance to ask him for some benediction, then what would you ask for?
I don't think I'm qualified to answer that question. Because to answer such a question, you have to have the qualification to see Krishna. What our elevated acharyas ask for is the association of devotees and the opportunity to render some service to Krishna. That means stay always in the association of devotees and have some service to do for Krishna. I think I'd also like to ask for experiencing the pure holy name. I really want to experience the pure holy name. If Krishna would be so kind, give me that experience. Goloka Vrindavan is described as having desire-fulfilling trees, kalpavriksha trees. But the qualification for entrance into Goloka Vrindavan is that one should be freed from all desires. So what's the use of the trees? It's not that we become free from desire. We become free from material desire. Desire is concomitant with the soul. We're not impersonalists. We say, rather than become free from desire, we say become free from material desire and desire only in relation to Krishna. So the kalpavriksha trees fulfill spiritual desire. The desire to serve Krishna in various ways, and the kalpavriksha trees provide the facility for serving Krishna in various ways. So if you have a kalpavriksha tree and you're in pure devotion, you have a very nice situation. But if you have kalpavriksha tree and you have material desire, you got a problem. Question. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said, "My Guru Maharaj, Ishwarapuri, considered me a great fool." Question. Is this possible for anyone to surrender like a fool to his spiritual master? Or is it a great standard of surrender of Lord Chaitanya? Is it possible for anyone and everyone? What's the prerequisite? It's the teaching is that before one's spiritual master, one should consider oneself in a very diminutive position. Sanatana Goswami did the same thing. He came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the language of Chaitanya Charitamrita, like a blank slate. What not to do is come before someone who is your superior thinking, "I know so much, and I'm so learned," and so on and so on. "I already know so many things, so don't tell me so many things that I already know. Tell me something I don't know." That's not the right attitude. The right attitude is, as Sanatana Goswami or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so is it possible for anyone, everyone? Yes. It's the standard. What Sanatana Goswami wanted to know was, who am I? Like ABC. Because before I can know what I should do, I need to know who I am. So please instruct me. Kayami. Who am I? And then, what is my duty? So that's not just meant for Lord Chaitanya, or it's just kind of a tongue-in-cheek expression. He didn't really mean it. He really meant it. In yesterday's lecture, I mentioned that Nimai Pandit said to a Brahmin, "You are my eternal associate." What's the difference between eternal associates of the Lord, those who have specific relationships with Krishna, and the rest of us, who have some eternal relationship with Krishna, but it's covered? Well, that's the answer. The mood of the Brahmin who had come to the house of Jagannath Mishra was Krishna's eternal. Their lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, they have this rasa, and they reenact the rasa in loving exchange with one another. In our case, that relationship with Krishna is altogether dormant. Just like, a seed is dormant. The seed is produced by the tree or the plant, and then there's a seed, and then the seed is the germination for yet another life.
of that plant. So that seed-like condition is our situation, and it needs awakening by the process of devotional service. Whereas this Brahmana that was visiting, he's eternally engaged. He was fixed in pure devotion. I think I should have stopped earlier so I could have done the questions more. Anyway. In book distribution, if we come across a devotee of another sampradaya who has a guru, can he be offered our sampradaya literature? Yes. If the answer is yes, is it not an offense to disturb his faith? Well, reading Prabhupada's literature, if he's from a bona fide sampradaya, is not going to disturb his faith. It's going to increase his faith. Just like if someone who is fixed in Krishna consciousness, just like I want to read about the life of Ramanujacharya in detail for the South Indian Yatra, and that's not going to disturb my faith. That's going to nurture my faith. This is the same person writing again. Why Ramanujacharya was thrown out of Jagannath Puri by Lord Jagannath, even he is a pure devotee? Well, Lord Jagannath has a particular mood of worship, and his worshippers are very fixed in that mood of worship, and that particular worship is not precisely the Panchatatrika system. It's a quite different system. It's a Jagannath-given system. And Ramanujacharya, as a reformer, was going from place to place where it wasn't a Jagannath-given system, it was a distorted system. And place after place, they accepted, these are the scriptural standards, and we should follow the scriptural standards of worship. But when he came to Jagannath Puri, he saw so many discrepancies in what they were doing from the Panchatatrika system, and he tried introducing that Panchatatrika system. But not only the worshippers didn't like, Lord Jagannath didn't like. He liked that system because he gave that system. And so he was excused from Jagannath Puri. The essential thing here is that when one does worship, it should be a bona fide system of worship, not something that's concocted. Okay, in Sri Brahma Samhita, it describes that the Supreme Lord is Navayovana, always youthful, but Advaitacharya got old. I answered this question the other someplace. Was it here? Not here? So here's how I answered the question. Maybe it was in Tirupati. Yeah, because I was in Tirupati for Advaitacharya's appearance, and someone asked this very same question. The forms that the Lord manifests are completely according to his yogamaya potency. By his yogamaya potency, he appears. It's like, so the answer is when he appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, he was as the newborn child. He appeared in a forearm form, not a little baby form. Most children don't appear in a forearm form with a helmet and a garland and golden armlets and bangles and the symbols of Vishnu. Most children don't appear like that. And he was a full stature, the form of the Lord.
And by the prayers of Vasudeva and Devaki, by his same Yogamaya potency, he assumed a small childlike form. In the 11th canto, chapter 39 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a description of how the Lord does this when he appears and also disappears, when he withdraws his pastimes. Shukadev Goswami says, like the Matsya avatar. So when the Matsya avatar appeared, it was a little fish. But all of a sudden he started to grow. So Satyavrata had to put him in a lake, not just in a pond. But he kept growing. And the lake was not big enough, so he put him in a river. He kept growing. The river wasn't big enough. He put him in the ocean. Kept growing. The ocean wasn't big enough. So how does the Lord do that? It's by his Yogamaya potency. So he can appear in a four-armed form, he can appear in a fish form, he can appear in a young form, but he's always youthful. He's nonetheless Navayovana. So for Leela purposes, he can appear however he likes. And one of the teachings of our Goswamis is, Jiva Goswami in particular, is that these forms are eternal. Now what form do you know that has a beard that's eternal? Advaitacharya, that's one. Because that's his form. That's how he appears. And that form is Navayovana. Because it's eternal. It's not Yovana, but it's Navayovana. Eternally youthful. As Advaitacharya. And what form that's elderly as Advaitacharya could dance all day long in Rathiyatra Kirtan? Advaitacharya. Not of material substance, but of spiritual substance. So by internal potency, the Lord is doing these things. Last question here. Prabhupada writes in Krishna book that the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis must not be discussed publicly because it requires purity. But we're offering Krishna book without the discrimination of purity. Well, the answer to the question should be obvious. Prabhupada said this, and then Prabhupada did that. So is he contradicting himself? What he wanted to do by the distribution of Krishna book were two things. One is he didn't know if he would live long enough to write the pastimes of Krishna, not just the gopis, but the 10th canto. So he made a summary study in case he wouldn't live that long. And sure enough, he didn't live long enough to complete the entire 10th canto. But he wrote it in such a way, purposefully, that his unqualified audience could receive the pastimes of Krishna and not receive them in an offensive manner. The Leela is embedded with so many descriptions and narrations and explanations that make it very clear that Krishna is not ordinary. That's where the offense comes. So there was protection. And I remember what we, you know, for maybe 6 months to a year, I spent living in a van, traveling all through America with the van up to the ceiling until we emptied it out and they would send us another van load of Krishna book. We were going all over the country, United States, colleges and towns and all over the place, door to door, giving people Krishna book. The unqualified people that would make an offense if they didn't receive it in the proper way. It was ecstatic. Wish I could do it again. Okay. Thank you very much. Shri Nityananda Ram ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Gopi Manandi.